speaking today with Steve Costello, who is running for City Council at Large number one. Steve, first question I like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
Well, I have several things I'd like to be able to add to council. I am an engineer. I do work for the City of Houston on a small scale. Most of my work is private work. I'm an infrastructure person. I'm on the Memorial Park Conservancy Board for the past 13 years. I deal with public works as well as parks and rec. So I feel I can bring to council several things that I think council is missing. One is an engineering perspective on public works in terms of CIP and reinvestment in infrastructure. On quality of life issues, I can bring to council my ability to work with the parks and rec individuals as well as the need for integrating quality of life in with CIP projects. The fact that I'm a business owner, I can work with the finance committee or be on the finance committee because I have a firm that's a very successful firm. We just celebrated 18 years in council, 18 years in our business. So I think I can bring another perspective that is lacking on council right now. Plus, the majority of my business is in the private business, which is the development aspects of it. And so for the past several years, there's been a lot of issues relative to redevelopment in the city, the pros and cons, and the potential conflicts with existing communities, and I think I can bring that aspect to the table and help educate the council members. I do feel that as an engineer, we have a tendency of taking a larger problem and boiling it down to individual solutions that we can solve and then be able to answer the larger picture, and I think that can be projected onto council that way.
Okay. You mentioned CIP. Let's talk a little bit about that. How do you think the CIP process is working in Houston? It seems like it takes a long time for projects to go from identification to completion, and I've heard people express some frustration about that. Do you think the CIP process works as it's supposed to, and what would you do, if anything, to change or improve it?
I think the problem with the CIP has to do with, there are two issues. One is the lack of understanding of the need. Most people don't realize that, and this is common knowledge if you go through city files, that over 70% of the infrastructure that the city owns is beyond its useful life. And in 15 years, over 85% of it would be. And so there's not a knowledge of the need for reinvestment in the city into the CIP project and into infrastructure. The issue about the CIP has to do with the dollar and the lack of it. And there's this competition amongst council members for dollars to their district. It's sad when you go to a district meeting, a town meeting, and a council member is there, and they're saying, here, I've got this project for us that's been on the books for 10 years, and it's one project in the district, and the district spans from Kingwood down to Clear Lake. And you say, well, why are we only doing one project? And that's what the issues are. First of all, you have to get the CIP out of the political process. Because what's happening is that as issues arise, you have the administration and the council members negotiating for, I'll help you if you help me, and then we'll move projects up. You have to get them out of there. Once something's on the CIP, as it migrates up, it should be built. It should be done that way. But because of term limits, what you have is you end up having a council member come on that has a different view of whether or not that previous project from another council member is worthwhile. No, I want my project on. So that happens internally within the CIP. But the real issue has to do with dollars and how you get dollars. If you look at the current budget of the city, it's a $4 billion budget. Of that $4 billion on the expenditure side, you have police, fire, civil service, and the entitlement programs, which is their retirement programs, and group health, and bond indebtedness. All of that combined is 75% of the expenditures of the city. So what happens is the CIP, civil services, housing, parks and rec, everyone else is competing for a small piece of the pie. So the issue is how you improve the CIP is to figure out a way to get more money into the program. If someone would tell you that, well, we're going to scrub the budget, well, that's disingenuous. It's not going to work that way. You have to figure out a way to, you'll save some money in looking at the budget, but you're going to have to figure out a way to get new money into the system. What I would like to see is an enterprise fund. If you go back now on the revenue side of the city, on the revenue side, it has primarily three funds that generate almost 68% of the revenue of the city. You have ad valorem taxes, you have state sales, local sales tax, and enterprise fund, water and sewer. Well, the water and sewer part of that fund, the money that's coming from water and sewer, is funding water and sewer improvements. So that part of the CIP is self-sufficient. So why couldn't we figure out a way to have an enterprise fund for streets and drainage, which is really the other component? That's really what CIP is all about, is streets and drainage. In addition to some of the props, like you have libraries and parks and stuff. But you have to figure out a way to get more money into the system. And that's what I would like to explore.
Well, and that's an interesting point to bring up because, you know, whereas you might want to separate the CIP from the political process, the funding, of course, is all political. And, you know, especially now in sort of bad economic times, you know, the city has just done its budget with a bunch of cuts. Everyone I talk to is talking about having to be, you know, lean and not taxing anymore and so on and so forth. Yeah, how do you bring something, a vision like that of an enterprise fund for the CIP, which clearly needs it, how do you bring that into being?
Well, here is the problem with the political process, and this is a political novice. But what I've seen is that people tend to get into politics and use it as a career development, and they want to stay in politics. Well, I have an engineering business. I'm sacrificing my engineering business to get on council to work for the city. And what I view that you can do, if everyone's worried about political cover, is let's go to the public and say, let's have a referendum and ask the public, would you be willing to pay for an enterprise fund that was solely for streets and drainage? And what we have to do is we have to stop assuming that the general public is stupid. They are very knowledgeable people. And if we can show them that here is a program that we want to do that's transparent, present the program to them and say, okay, in this quadrant of the city, for discussion purposes, in 2012 we're going to do this. In this quadrant of the city in 2013 we're going to do this. And you just have areas in the city, and so as a resident say, okay, well I'm going to participate in this program and eventually they're going to be working over to my neighborhood. Then you might get the, and I would assume that you would get the general public to approve something like that. So that's really what we need to do. We need to ask the public in a referendum type mandate to request an approval of an enterprise fund. That's the only way you're going to do that. The other problem I have with the current administration is that the current administration has been, over the past 6 years, just chipping away at our tax rate so that we could save a dollar or two, and yet we're sacrificing areas that we're not even funding. And so I'd rather not cut taxes. I'd rather leave the taxes the way they are today and show the resident or show the people that live in the city how we're using their money. Because one of the problems that you have in the budget, the budget is very hard to read, and it's very hard for someone who's not familiar with reading those financial reports to understand where the money's going. Someone needs to be able to tell the general public that here is how we're using your money, that we're good stewards of your money, rather than arbitrarily reducing tax rate and saying I reduce tax rates for another motive, an ulterior motive. Whereas I'd much rather just go to the public and say here is how I'm spending your money, and I believe we're spending it in the right way.
Okay. You're on the board of Memorial Park Conservancy. Seems like a lot of parks in Houston are funded via conservancies. Talk to me a little bit about how that works, and you know whether in general, you know, I mean, Houston is considered to be kind of lacking in terms of green space. Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about how the conservancy process works and how you know, parks can be maintained and funded adequately and expanded in the city, again, in tough budget times.
Yeah, a little bit of history of how I got on the park, the Conservancy Board. Memorial Park Conservancy was originally called the Memorial Park Advisory Group, and it was a group of friends of Emma Hogg who conveyed the park to the city. And her intent was, as she was getting older in age, to have people just make sure that Memorial Park was going to be maintained as a park. I don't know if a lot of people really realize this, but at one time the Astrodome was planned for Memorial Park. And so there is there's always this challenge of having a park in an urban setting where you could have still conservation parts of the park and still provide amenities for the urban user. Well, I was representing the Houston Area Roadrunners Association. I was the president of the association. And we were having women early in the morning being attacked at the park. And so we met with Parks and Rec at the time, and we asked them to do some understory clearing. And so we were able to get that accomplished in the areas where the women were being attacked, and I got asked by the board to come visit them. And I didn't know who they were. And I first met them, and they asked me after the meeting, they said, since you represent the largest user group, which as of today is 3.6 million people per year out of 4 million, so it's a very large user group, would you mind being on our board as an ex officio? Well, I was on the board, and then I progressed up. What happens is, you know how you are when you're volunteering somehow you get volunteered to do things. So I went from some committee members and ended up being on the board as an officer. And several years ago, we changed from this advisory group to a 501c, and we became the Memorial Park Conservancy. What we were doing was we were mirror imaging, and I call us the little sister, to the Herman Park Conservancy, because we felt that there was this lack of attention to the park, and not by intent, but due to lack of funding on Parks and Rec. They just have so many things they have to do. And we felt as a conservancy, if we can sort of help raise money for the park, we could help manage the park. That's what our goal is. So we were successful in starting a program. We have a capital program going on that this current administration really embraced. Mayor White recruited a lady by the name of Midley Hildebrandt, which is with she's a great lady. She has a their family has a foundation called Hildebrandt Foundation, and so she's heading up our capital campaign. We have a $11 million campaign, six projects. We have three marquee projects. One is under construction today, which is the bridge over Memorial Drive. It's a $4 million project. The city's putting up three. We're putting up one. And then we're renovating the tennis center. We should have that started sometime in the next 60 days. And then we're going to build a running center where the bridge is. So that's our marquee project. And so we're really excited about it. But part of our $11 million campaign, we're going to get we're raising $1 million as an endowment for maintenance, because we feel like we could help the city in maintaining the facilities. So our ultimate goal is to have this foundation endowment sitting on the side that the proceeds will help us maintain the park. And so that's what we would like to do. What's a little frustrating, and you see it as being on a nonprofit, is to see how much reliance there is on foundations. We have a lot of foundations here in the city that are very generous and help arts, parks, green spaces. They do a lot for that. And yet, the general public, I think, is really not participating as much as I would like. In fact, I recently wrote an article in Inside Texas Running, and it was geared towards the running community, that it's time for you to help, that the foundations are contributing to our capital program, and yet the people who actually use the facility is not. So that's what we've done so far. We're real excited about that. I was chairman for the past 4 years. We just changed leadership. But I'm still, because I'm an engineer, I'm heading up our projects committee. So we're moving. I'm still heading up the campaign on the delivery side, and Mindy's heading it up on raising the funds.
Okay. City Council right now is working on an ordinance geared towards transit corridors, going to make some revisions to Chapter 42 of the code to change the way buildings are supposed to be done, sidewalks are supposed to be done in urban corridors. What's your opinion on that?
I think as you go through the development of the rail corridors, that there needs to be some input from the property owners around the rail corridor. There obviously has to be some change to make it user-friendly, walking-friendly, and still honor property rights at the same time. So what I've always advocated for is the same way I run my business here, is I've always advocated for whoever's impacted in an issue to be at the table to discuss the issue. Because I believe that the development community has an input into what goes on, and they care about what's developed. They really do. A lot of times you talk to people and they say, well, developers don't care. They just want to maximize their revenue on a property. But that's not really true. Every community, whether it's engineering, whether it's green, whether it's development, we have our people that kind of push the envelope. But the lion's share of us really care about the community. And so there has to be some changes done, but I would like to see a consensus where people are at the table and discussing it at great length.
Okay. You know, Metro is just starting construction on the North and Southeast rail lines. It was just in the Houston Business Journal. You know, the other lines are still coming along. All this is supposed to be done, you know, 2012, maybe 2013. If you're elected on council, you would serve, you know, with term limits through 2015. So my question is, where would you like to see Metro go next when they're done with this phase of, you know, of the rail project? What should they be doing going forward?
Born and raised in Long Island. Obviously, I'm not a Texan. You can tell that by my accent. And working in the city, I was a frequent user of commuter rail. And I've always been that way. And I've always felt that what I thought the program was lacking was the delivery of the people that live out in the suburbs into the inner core. The problem that you have with Metro today is the fact that we don't have commuter rail. But even if we did have commuter rail, we really don't have what people have confidence in is the delivery system. And once you get to the core, how do you get to where you need to be? And so Metro needs to focus more on their delivery system internally, and that light rail will help that, but then making sure that you can get people there. So I would like to advocate for commuter rail, and that's probably hard rail out to the outlying areas to get into the inner core. That's what I would like to see. I would also like to see it done quicker. It's been a long time. I mean, when was it when we approved the program? It was back
2003.
Here we are 6 years later. We still don't have anything other than the main line. So that's my opinion.
All right. Obviously, we're going to be electing a new mayor this fall as well. What would you like? In what ways would you like to see the new mayor be like the current mayor, Mayor White? And in what ways would you like to see the new mayor be different?
It's funny you bring that up because I bring this story up all the time. When I was last year, when I was talking to people about I was considering running for council, the one question that was asked me was, well, why do you want to be a chimpanzee when the gorilla has all the bananas? And my response to them was, well, number one, I own my own business, and I don't treat my own business as a gorilla. I treat my own business as a sit-down and collectively make decisions. I have 11 partners. I believe that the next administration, no matter who wins, will have a different personality than the current administration or past administrations, that they will reach out to council and ask for support and ask for their guidance in issues. So I would like to be able to sit down, and I feel that I could work with most of the council members. I know quite a few of them. And with the new administration in terms of working together for a vision for the city.
Yeah. Do you have a preference among the mayoral candidates?
No.
Okay. I'm going to be asking that to everybody. So.
Well, I personally do. But I'd rather not say publicly.
That's fine.
If you want me to turn that off, I'll tell you. But I do have to work with anyone, whoever gets voted in.
That's fine. Recently, the Houston Police Officers Union, their president, has been vocal about wanting to change the current HPD policy to inquire about people's immigration status before they've been actually arrested for something. Mayor White and Chief Hurd have both pushed back on this. I'd like to know what your opinion is.
Yeah, it's an interesting subject that I've never really paid much attention to until this recent issue with one of the police officers, a former police officer. And I've always agreed with the policy the current administration has that if once you arrest somebody, then you should find out whether or not they're of legal status. But to me, I don't think we should be doing what the federal government's job is to do, is every time we have an officer pulling somebody over or even inquiring about their legal status. I'd rather see them make our city safe. Now, however, that being said, if our police force believes that they should be doing something to make our community safe, then it warrants further discussion. And I would like to have that opportunity to talk to them. But I still believe that immigration status has nothing to do. There are a lot of people here that are non-documented citizens, and yet they add a lot of value to our community. And I would much rather see them ask their immigration status if they get arrested.
When people go to vote this November and they come to your race, how do you want them to think about it?
Well, I want them to think about the one person that can add value to city council. The one person that will not have to go through a learning curve. The one person that can sit on five of their existing committees and say, yeah, this person can be working for me the minute he gets on council and won't be waiting 2 years for me to be effective. And the one person that will say, well, he's going to be working there for the good of the city because we know he's not a career politician and he has his own business and he'll be able to step out when he's done and continue his business.
All right. Steve Costello, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.